Look at all these women around here. They're all dogs.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's August 27th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation audio publication, episode 125.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you from the 17th century Canal House Crackpot Command Center in Amsterdam, Gitmo Nation East, where the Mark of the Beast is official as of today. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where a heat wave is afoot, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
They finally made it official, John. The chip that people will carry everywhere is now official in the Netherlands. They've you can no longer use public transport without the chip card.
Without the chip card.
Yes, the RFID. They call it the. I forget what they call it.
When are they going to put the chip in the people?
They're getting there. They're actually, there was this, that's funny. I was listening to this on the radio. There was a big dance party on the beach over the weekend, and it got out of hand, and the cops were surrounded by the public, and then the cops started shooting.
Shooting?
Yeah, shooting.
Shooting?
Yes, like with their firearms. So one kid died of a shot wound, and six others were wounded, of which one other seriously. And so immediately the word came out, well, you know, it is possible that he was killed by a police bullet, i.e., you know, yeah, they're getting ready for the evidence to come out. And so the mayor of, I think it's Rotterdam, actually, has come out and said, okay, that's it. We've got to ban all parties. No more parties ever again. And so I was listening to the radio this morning. Mickey and I were driving in the car down to the south of Holland for some business, and there was this whole discussion where the right wing political party is saying, "Well, you know what we could do? We could still do parties, but why don't we put a chip into the people who have been troublemakers in the past, and we can identify them?" I'm like, they're really seriously discussing this shit. Put a chip in the troublemakers. So anyway, so the. The managing director of this whole,
you know, wait. You know, if you put a chip in the troublemakers, only the troublemakers will have chips. No, I think it'd be kind of interesting because the troublemakers can then group up with each other by having a scanner and then finding other troublemakers.
Yeah, exactly.
Forming gangs of troublemakers.
Exactly. We need to find each other. It's going to be very easy. So the managing director of this, you know, this whole big system. They've had a campaign going on for a long time. Like, the only way you'll be able to travel with public transport is with this RFID card. Everyone's got to use it starting August 27th. And so this guy is, of course, you know, the managing director, he's the first one to use it, right? You know, it's like, oh, look, here it is. And he gets stuck in the turnstile.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, brother.
It's funny. That's a real PR nightmare. If you're trying to make this thing, he couldn't go forwards or backwards. He's stuck
in the
turnstile.
Sounds like the Keystone Cops are running the place.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
So what is the tourist supposed to do?
I think the way it works is probably the same as the Oyster card in the UK, where you buy the empty card, or maybe you buy it with, you know, with like $1 or $2 on it, and then you can top it up. But of course, what they really want is they want you to buy one, that is associated with you. In fact, they also announced today that kids can buy, meals at school with their RFID card. So the process is already well underway here in Gitmo Nation.
What is
East.
The point? What are they afraid of? I mean, why are they chipping people? It makes no sense.
What do you mean? Why? So they can track you, of course. What do you mean? Why
but
are they?
What do they expect to get out of it?
It's handy. It's handy.
It's handy.
Because, but
it's handy. It's handy. Why are we doing this? It's handy. Yeah, it makes it, you have to do less work.
It is. It's really handy. But think about it. They're putting kids' lunch money onto these cards. So if you're a bad kid, no lunch for you.
Bad kid. How many bad kids? Well, I guess there's a bunch of drunks over there. How many genuinely bad kids are there?
Yeah. Well, there's, you know. It's this country is pretty. There's a fantastic book that I saw advertised and I bought it. I love this. Written by a 72-year-old artist. She's a painter, Ina Fein. And the book is called Moord namens de Kroon. which roughly translates to murder in, what is the word I'm looking for? Murder by order of the crown. And it's about Pim Fortuyn, the politician who was all set to win the elections in, I think, 2002 it was. Maybe, no, 2000, 2001. Remember the, you know, that everyone called him the Dutch Le Pen, and everyone was really freaking out. Of course, the whole country was behind the guy, and he actually won, his party won posthumously, but he was assassinated outside of a radio studio. And right. So, and she got a hold of a report from the Dutch version of the, either, you know, I guess kind of like the FBI, the Binnenlandse Veiligheidsdienst, maybe you call it CIA. And in it, it talks of a second shooter. And apparently there were like five bullets in his head. Two of which were different caliber and from a different weapon.
So they went for a headshot because they couldn't take a chance. He was wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yep. They went for the headshot. Two to the head. And so I'm very excited. You know, there's some of me, some crackpots here in Holland. I love it.
Yeah. I'm sure there's more than a few.
But it wouldn't surprise me. I'll tell you that. That guy was he was going to sweep the people were freaking out. He was going to sweep the elections, and he did. You know, of course, the party fell apart because without their leader, they were all screwed up.
Yeah, that's typical.
Yeah, which was a shame. But you know, and people say, "Oh, that's just crazy." I said, "Well, it's based upon a report from the
it's Dutch." Crazy. That's just crazy talk.
That's just crazy. So, of course, although I'm not in the United States right now, I can only surmise that the news is all about the death of Teddy Kennedy.
Over the last couple of days, yeah, it's been like, in fact, my wife was irked the other day. CBS in particular is all over this, and for some reason you have to kind of figure out what CBS being a very much in the Obama camp.
Yeah,
they
I'll tell you why in a minute, but please.
Well, tell me why now, because it'll be a good backstory.
Well, because the news
Viacom.
Well, so it's very convenient, of course, and unfortunate. You know, the guy died of brain cancer. And of course, he was he's the last of the what we call royalty, I guess, in the United States. But very convenient for him to die on the very same day that the news comes out that the deficit will rise by $2 trillion more than expected. Of course, a lot of that is the proposed healthcare reform. Unemployment is going to blast through the double digits. We're going to go through 10%. You know, all of this horrible, horrible economic news, and that is completely snowed under by, you know, Teddy Kennedy.
Yeah, he could have been dead for days for all we know.
Keep it quiet. He's too early, damn it. We got to wait until we have to release the numbers. Because you're not reading anything about the numbers, obviously. You're not hearing anything about that. I can just guess.
Yeah, no, it's wall to wall. This is the Michael Jackson 2.
Yeah.
And so,
without the dancing.
Right, Michael. Right. But anyway, so there's a new show that we like, a new drama that we like to watch, which because it just has a great character called The Mentalist.
Oh, and is so this? What's the premise of this?
The premise is this guy is a magician who is also good at reading people and can feign reading your mind kind of thing, and he's a consultant with the police department, the California Bureau of Investigation, actually, and he goes from case to case and kind of figures out who did it, and it's actually very entertaining. It's very well done, and it's the structure is nice and it's paced well. So it's one of the shows we're now the family is watching. So there was a rerun. My daughter didn't get to see, so they're showing the thing, and right in the middle of it, unlike every other network, which just had a crawler. At the bottom, they interrupted the show and went on for 15 minutes.
God, are they out of their mind? They interrupted show? The family was watching, darn it.
Well, that is absolutely the fact. I mean, why are they interrupting the show? Because this was, I mean, if it was Schwarzenegger or something local, or that's actually, there was a Washington, but if it was something local. But I had to tell anybody this, maybe they don't know, but Ted Kennedy was a senator from Massachusetts.
And he got handed that senatorship, didn't he? He wasn't actually elected, I think.
His first time around, I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it was the handoff deal.
He reelected a lot. But anyway, it is national news at one level, but not, you know, World War III.
Yeah.
And
World War III is going.
The point is, my daughter didn't get to see the episode. Darn it, because of Viacom's corruption.
Hey, Ron. Viacom's corruption. Yeah. Now, does your daughter know that she'll be paying for your death squad?
Death panel.
Death panel, I'm sorry.
Death squad.
I meant death squad, death actually. Is she aware of that, at least, or do you not talk about that at home?
She even listens to this show. So,
$10 trillion, that's what the Oversight Management Board is saying. $10 trillion.
It adds up.
Yeah, it certainly does. You know, it's like, how egotistical are we as human beings that we're willing to save our ass now and have our great grandchildren take the rap? You know, it's just, how egotistical are we? I mean, when will someone just stand up and say, you know what? Fuck that shit. We need to change it for the better. I'm going to sacrifice myself right now. There you go. I'll sacrifice myself. I'll take no health care so that my grandchildren can have it. Oh, Jesus. Right in the middle of that, John gets blown out of the water. Hey, man.
That's one.
Yeah. Let me see if I can...
I know what the cut-in is.
Well, hold on a second. We may not have to cut in. Maybe you're still up. Hold on. That's kind of weird. Say something.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you're still on. Cool. Yeah, if you call back, then it works, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Where did you lose me? I was saying that we need to sacrifice ourselves for the good of our grandchildren.
Yeah, I said something along the lines of, that's the way it's always been. I mean, this has been forever. So, I mean, they just, you know, we cheat the system somehow. I never really.
Yeah, by printing more money, and we're going to run out. It's over.
No, we're not going to run out of paper. That's the point. So,
Finland is shutting down the paper plants. What are you talking about? We are running out of paper. In fact, paper may become as valuable as gold one of these days.
It is. So why don't we, before we get off the Kennedy thing, I want you to play the Kennedy clip that I have.
Mm.
Now, sure. What's the name of the clip?
The name of the clip is Kennedy NPR Special.
Yeah. They did a special on the Kennedy clan, and, you know, mostly it was
the one of many.
Mostly about Joe Kennedy and the fact that he's a mobster and, you know, only.
Well, he made all his money during Prohibition, right? Running bootleg liquor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's well connected, and so the whole thing is about all these kind of crooked deals. But the one, and of course, you know, if Ted Kennedy is lionized, you know, you don't. I mean, he doesn't hold a candle to John Kennedy. And then, so there's this. So I'm going
to
play.
Wait, was it supposed to be Joe? What was the?
Joe Kennedy Jr. was going to be, but
he was
going to
be president. He got killed in the war. He was supposed to be the main. Isn't it amazing how four kids from one family were all, you know, either slated to be president or, you know,
yeah.
I mean, how does that work? That can only mean that there's some kind of corruption going on.
Yeah, well, here, play this clip, and this is Tip O'Neill. By the way, this is the narrator, followed by, and in the middle, there's Tip O'Neill laughingly, who used to be the Speaker of the House, laughingly talking about the kind of how they basically bribed their way into getting Kennedy elected. Play it.
Kennedy carried Wisconsin, but he did lose key Protestant districts, and the next contest was in an overwhelmingly Protestant state. West Virginia. To win there, Kennedy would have to confront the religious issue at every public appearance.
Senator Kennedy, how can we stop the religious issues that keep coming up to confuse the public?
What were those religious issues with the Protestants at the time?
Kennedy is the first Catholic president, and they're always the Protestants in the United States historically was skeptical of Rome and specifically the Pope, and they always felt that if a Catholic president was elected, he would just take orders from the Pope.
Yeah, that's the dude in that cool car, huh?
Exactly.
Excellent.
I must say that we shouldn't boo because it's a I am running for the presidency, which is a powerful office, given great power under the Constitution, and it is a matter of concern to a good many people, and the best way to get it answered, it seems to me, is to ask the question openly.
West Virginia was not only Protestant, it was notoriously corrupt. Once again, the Kennedys left nothing to chance.
I tell the story about Eddie Ford. Eddie Ford went out there pocket full of money.
This is Tip O'Neill?
Yeah.
You'd see a sheriff. And he'd say to the sheriff, "Sheriff, I'm from Chicago. I'm on my way south. I love this young Kennedy boy. He can help this nation. My God, he's got the feeling for it, you know. He'll do things for West Virginia." "I'll tell you what," he said. "Here's $3,000 or here's $5,000, he said. "You carry your village for him or your county for him, and I'll give you a little reward on when I'm on my way back."
Wow.
FBI wiretaps would later show that underworld figures said to have old ties to Joe Kennedy were also distributing funds on behalf of the Kennedy campaign. Kennedy won West Virginia and all of the primaries.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That's what Mayor Daley did for Obama.
Yeah, there's that. And
there's that.
It's like, you know, but it's funny that, you know, they're just rife with, the whole system is rife with this sort of corruption.
What's funny,
everybody loves Jack Kennedy.
No, what's funny is, what's funny is, if there's only one small discrepancy, or if there's, you know, anything goes wrong with the voting on American Idol, the country is up in arms. We are pissed off to no end, because it should have been the other dude with the hair who won. And, right. But when it comes to, I'm sure you've heard the voting machines, you probably blogged it, that a couple of guys proved that it's very easy to, or relatively easy to change the votes in the voting machines that are used in many districts in the U.S. I mean, this whole voting machine thing is, it's rigged. The whole thing is rigged.
Yeah, it makes it easier. I think you're right. I think a lot of this has to do with just ease.
Yeah.
Making things easier. By the way, you know, there was a movie, and the listeners maybe can help me here.
Those listeners.
And this movie came out in must have come out in the late 60s or mid 70s, early 70s. I don't know. I saw it at the Pacific Film Archives, and it was at the time I was watching, I said, "This is the most ridiculously stupid movie I have ever seen in my life." And it was a movie that was documenting the various mob families and who they'd run for president. And like especially in the Democrat Party, everybody Lyndon Johnson was representing one part of one mob family, and Kennedy was representing another mob family. And
they're all gangsters, John. Of course they are. We know that the Clintons and Bush families have been working together for years, running drugs through, you know, MENA, Arkansas. They're all thugs and gangs. It makes total sense. Why do we believe otherwise?
Well, I just would like to find, you know, the thing is, this was so well documented, even though I thought it was bogus.
Because you were not awakened by then.
I wasn't the skeptic that I've become. Through experience, I might add.
Yes. And through research. Experience and research.
Research. Mm-hmm. So there's an interesting story breaking as we speak.
Oh, what's that? Do we have a breaking news story? No, sorry, we don't.
No, we have it. Well, I want to preface it with a clip.
Well, we do. We have breaking news! Breaking news! Did I blow you out?
That was it. No. I think that horn should be used for when we have
duplication.
We need a different noise, because that should be for repeating ourselves.
Yes.
Anyway, the
which clip do you want me to proceed the breaking?
Well,
news
I want you to run the Olbermann clip.
I got three of them.
Oh.
I got Olbermann one worst person and three ads.
Well, there's a couple of weirdnesses going on with Olbermann.
Now you're not going to get into the whole news network fighting news network thing again, are you?
No. I'm just saying.
Is Olbermann relevant? I mean, how many people watch him?
He's got big numbers. His numbers have got, and he's getting a big head, which is hard to believe.
But which is very good for your television career.
It's hard to believe, but it's actually getting, you know, so, but what's interesting are the commercials they're running around his show.
Oh, let me guess. Big Pharma?
No, that's what's interesting about it.
Really?
I think Olbermann won.
Okay, let's check.
Buy of healthcare. Healthcare is then rationed. Also, the quality of healthcare with socialized medicine is greatly reduced. You will wait months and years for treatment. Many of the people will not get treatment at all. You will pay for free healthcare for over 20 million illegal aliens. Obama and the Democrats know that socialized medicine does not work. They want it because it gives them more power over you.
You can stop the horrors of socialized medicine from happening to you by joining the U.S. Citizens Association. Membership is free. Call now, or go to initiationassistancecitizenshowie.com.
Wait a minute.
I scrambled that myself.
I was going to say, why did you scramble it? Because you didn't want to promote it.
I'm not putting out somebody else's phone number.
Wait, so if I play that, if I play that backwards, then I get the number and I can find the website?
I'll give you the number.
No, that's please.
But yes,
so that, so that's an anti-Obama, and you would think an anti-Obama.
Yeah, that runs right before or right during one of the breaks, and I was going, "Wow, somebody's just targeted marketing here." But I'm wondering whether it's a honeypot or what it is, because when I listen to that ad, it's basically everything's free, free, free. It's a this is a mailing list operation.
I was going to say, you know, maybe we should actually call the number, because maybe it's, you know, as you say, a honeypot where you call up and then they try to convert you.
Or whatever, or just get your name on a mailing list.
What's the website? What's the website that they gave out? Come on, John.
It's the name of the group.org, I think, something like that.
Thanks.
I can go get. I'd have to play the real clip without the unedited clip to figure it out. But let's go. Anyway, that's an example of the ads they're running on that show, which I thought was
surprising.
Weird.
Surprising.
Now, the more surprising one, because I've never heard an ad for this ever, is I think it's clip the third clip for Olbermann.
You are not your name. You're not your job. You're not the clothes you wear or the neighborhood you live in. You're not your fears, your failures, or your past. You are hope.
Stop it. Stop
I'm
it.
Hope.
Now you gotta guess, what do you think it's gonna be?
I think this is... Wow. Is this targeted at college kids?
I don't know. Hit it.
You are imagination. You are the power to change, to create, and to grow.
You are all that you can be?
A spirit that will never die. And no matter how beaten down, you will rise again. Scientology. Know yourself.
Whoa! Wait a minute. These guys must—they must
yourself.
Be hard up for money, man. So they're taking Scientology dough and they're taking anti-Obama ad money.
So it sounds like, and this, by the way, went right into a Rachel Maddow House ad.
Hmm. You are Scientology. Have you ever read Dianetics by Ron L. Hubbard?
Yeah,
L. Ron Hubbard. Yeah, have you actually read it?
I couldn't get through it. It was just too much.
I read
for
it.
Me.
You know, I read it one vacation.
But you read Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah.
Oh, I did it. I mentioned it. Honk the horn. Don't let me do that again.
Whoa. I have not seen the. I got to put up the link, the Amazon.com link. I'm going to start promoting all these wacky books. So yes, you did it again. But Dianetics, it's not a bad book. You know, and it's not. You know, I like
just. You know, advice, yeah, people can read it.
But is but, it, I mean, it doesn't seem as freaky as the people who try and, you know, get you clear, who are stopping on the street, you know, with the with that voltometer or whatever it is. The
book
E-meter. E-meter, yeah. The predecessor to the iPod. You know, it had some pretty logical stuff in there. A lot of the book is about... you know, what a fetus actually feels while it's inside the womb and what it hears, and, you know, the whole idea of, you know,
well,
not
disturbing.
Well,
if you thought
you
were getting an interesting commentary from the Ayn Rand
faction, know, I haven't. The only thing I've gotten, let me tell you, dude, the only thing I've gotten is good.
You can honk the horn when you say dude from now on.
No, I will not. I've gotten good feedback. People are like, hey, man, thanks for pointing that out. That's a pretty interesting book. You know, I don't know if they've actually gotten through it all. How have you started yet, John? Mr. Criticaster?
Yeah, I have. I've started. It's sitting over on the toilet, and so when I'm taking a dump, I read a couple pages. It really helps. I'm telling you, you get out of the bathroom a lot faster.
I read gossip magazines, primarily ones that have me in it when I'm taking a dump. I get out real fast. I'm like, oh. I'm being raked over the coals again. So, you know, I was walking down the street, and I had one of my roll-ups in my mouth.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah, there's Adam Curry smoking dope.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's all over the news. Hey, he's on dope again. He's stoned again. I'm like, dude, it's just fucking tobacco.
All right. Now, so here's some actual interesting political news. And this requires playing one more clip.
Wow.
This one will be the clip number two, which is the long clip.
The worst person?
Olbermann does this thing called the worst person in the world. And so he cites some poor schlub who happens to be a PR guy defending his congressman for apparently being politically incorrect.
Oh, boy.
And using the word and allowing somebody to use the word terrorist in a joking manner. And I've noticed this with Olbermann, which is a show, you know, it's worth watching occasionally if you can put up with Olbermann, who has got no sense of humor
and a big head.
And he's got this huge head that just fills the screen, and he's really serious, and he stares, and he purses his lips, and he's really serious. He's staring. Oh,
what did he do before this? Was he like a comedian or
no? He was a rich
sportscaster.
He got
maybe?
His reputation by being fired by ESPN.
But yeah, right. He was a sports guy. I thought it was something like
sports
that.
Sports commentator. And he dreamed up the show some time ago, and it was a huge flop until the election came around, and he decided to go overboard with being an Obama bot. I mean, really over the top. And he started getting a following, and then he picked up some better writers, and the show is actually pretty full of material. But a lot of it is just really sketchy. In this particular piece, if you listen to it, it leads me right into a news story that I found interesting.
Okay. But our winner tonight, Matt LaVoy, the spokesman for yesterday's worst, Congressman Wally Herger of Chico, California. After a constituent now identified as Bert Stead of Redding, California, stood up at a Herger town hall and identified himself as a, quote, proud right-wing terrorist, Congressman Herger responded not with any rebuke, but by saying, amen, God bless you, there is a great American. The spokesman, Mr. LaVoy, now says the congressman has no intention of apologizing for praising a self-described terrorist. He says, quote, the comment was in jest. The man was using satire to make his point, which does not have a damn thing to do with it. As I said last night, even if he was being allegorical or hyperbolic, this is not language to bandy about. Not when people are on both sides are showing up with submachine guns or guns at town halls.
Submachine guns.
Not when members of right-wing militias are showing up at town halls. When faced with this crap on the eve of last year's election, even Senator McCain's conscience got the better of him, and he reprimanded a woman spouting hate speech against McCain's rival. Congressman Herger and his spokesman need to do the same. And until they do, they are contributing to this climate of paranoia and violence enveloping our political system. Until they say something, Congressman Herger and this spokesman are not defending the Constitution. They are threatening it. Matt LaVoy, the spokesman for Congressman Wally Herger, 2nd District, California. Today's worst person in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy, he brings up the violence thing. I'm thinking violence.
First of all, I love the Phantom of the Opera music that goes along with that.
Pretty dramatic. Totally great.
Yeah.
So the story breaks this morning that some punk who had apparently busted up, this is the violence part, by the way, busted up the Democratic headquarters in I think, Denver, and defaced a bunch of Obama signs and, you know, busted a window.
Wait, inside the actual offices?
No, they threw rocks through the window. It hit the bus. They just busted up the place. It was some extreme. And it was, you know, blamed on pissed off Republicans who were about the health care
funded
thing.
By the insurance companies.
So they, but by coincidence, these kids, I guess, went around here and there. Kids, one of them's 24. I guess they're both in their mid-20s. And they some cop, by coincidence, caught him. And the guy's a Democrat operative.
Really?
Yeah, he's a Democrat. He's been a paid canvasser. He got $500 for canvassing for some. It's on my blog, dvorak.org/blog. You should check it out. And I'm beginning to now think that, okay, so the idea is, and of course, the Denver Post, very supportive of Obama, says, no, he's not a Democrat. He's an anarchist. And I'm thinking, yeah, sure. He also apparently was arrested in Minnesota trying to disrupt the Republican convention. This guy's just one of these
guys.
He's
just a troublemaker. He's just a pain. He should be chipped.
He's a paid trouble. He should be chipped. He's a paid troublemaker, but it's like now they've turned out that there's a whole bunch of listings on Craigslist to get, you know, with the title Summer Jobs That Make a Difference, where they pay you $350 to $500 to go work this one out of Sacramento.
Oh, yeah. No, that's been going on for weeks.
Right. To
the
go
Craigslist
in,
stuff. Yeah.
And there's no reason for them, you know, the idea here is just to make the Republicans look bad. And I was thinking about this because I've been watching a lot of these town hall meetings and there's this really sketchy stuff that comes up and, you know, from the supposed radical Republicans, these Republican terrorists that, you know, can barely get away from the television set, let alone go protest. My commentary is simple. What Republicans do you know that go around, drive around on bicycles and throwing rocks at places like these two kids were doing? Republicans, unless a church organizes a protest and buses the people out there, they generally don't do that much. They're not the radicals are typically on.
You know, they're going to show up in their Ford F-150s with their semi-automatic rifles. You know, they're not going to go waste time on bicycles with rocks.
So the point is, well, they generally stay home. Yeah. But the point is. They do. And so I'm watching one of the town hall meetings, which I'd taken a clip from earlier. And this guy gets up who's moaning vociferously about the bad health care bill. And he says, I pay $700 a month for my health care insurance. And I think I get the best. And I am an American and I get the best health care in the world. And he rips off of two or three Republican, the corniest, the worst of the Republican talking points as if he's mocking them. But he makes it very clear he's paying $700 a month for this great health care. Huh, the phone. So, and somebody comes and berates him afterwards, saying that, well, hold on a second. Shit.
Who? Hello? Hello? John C. Dvorak's escort service.
Yeah, some opinion poll. So, anyway, and I was thinking,
we should really have a way to patch your phone in when an opinion pollster calls. We should be like both on the phone, and we should really mess with their heads.
It would be great. Anyways, but the thing is, when I picked it up, they already hung up because I'm obviously on a dialer. Called the company's Opinion One. Anyway, the phone's off the hook now. So I'm thinking, and somebody else comes up, you know, some other Republican, a real Republican, kind of flabbergasted about how this guy's bragging about paying $700 a month as though this is a good
Jeez.
Thing.
Yeah.
And she had this look on her face. And now I think back on it, why was it just a Democrat plant in a form of irony saying, I pay $700 a month for the greatest health care in the world, and I want to keep it that way, which is essentially what he said. So I'm thinking half of this stuff is staged in one way or another, and it's not, you know, staged by the Republicans.
But, you know, we need to set something straight here, because the $700 a month or whatever it is, you know, you probably pay $400. I think that's what I pay, somewhere in that region. That's actually not paying for health care. Okay, you're paying for insurance. And the whole idea of these insurance companies sitting in between, whether they're public or private, whether it's government owned or not, the whole idea of it being like a layaway program is just wrong. You know, healthcare in general should be somewhat affordable, and there should be, you know, reasonable parameters around what a doctor can charge you, which is the way it always worked in a lot of these Gitmo Nation states, which was actually, it worked pretty well. But now it's become this is what I pay for healthcare. No, that's what you pay for insurance for your healthcare.
No, I agree with that. Now, there's a secondary meme that has shown up, and this is not something that's new. But all of a sudden, I'm noticing this if I watch any of these town hall meetings or I listen to the news and they're clipping from them. This meme has started to show up, and I'm not sure who's behind this one. But I get the sense that it's these organizers that aren't Republicans or Democrats, but it's the people that keep promoting health savings accounts. Now, health savings accounts became legal. It's like a form of an IRA.
Yeah, it's tax deductible, right?
Yes, tax deductible. And now I'm hearing on right-wing talk radio, left-wing talk radio, town hall meetings, out of the blue. And this wasn't, I'd say 2 weeks ago, I would have not heard this at all. Zero. Now I'm hearing it constantly. References to health savings accounts over and over and over, as if somebody has pulled the,
well,
you know,
it's a perfect
switch.
It's a perfect way to put more money into the banks. It's a
that
it's,
could be part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a great financial instrument. And of course, when we have that money in the banks, then we can create derivatives and trade on it. Yay! 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 Yay!
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
That's probably exactly it. I'm sure that there's a derivative guy right now saying, how can we just take health savings accounts and sell a package to the Germans?
Yeah, well, but, you know, it really what happened and in the United States, you know, we're entrepreneurs. We like to create businesses. You know, doctors everywhere setting up these specialist clinics and, you know, all kinds of expensive equipment and, you know, and it's just, the system is just, we need more than reform, you know. We just need to rethink what we're doing. And we're just, we're not there. It is all these memes that, you know, I pay for healthcare. No, it's insurance for healthcare. It's in case you really, really get toasted. You know, it's in case you get hit by a truck. It's in case you get cancer. You know, in case you get a heart attack, it's for you know, like insurance for your home, insurance for your car. You know, you don't call I pay for auto service. No, it's insurance for your automobile. That's where it's all gone wrong. People just don't quite understand the
mechanics of it. They've been led astray.
They've been hypnotized. Astray. People watching 3, 4, 5 hours of television a day, completely, you know. I was at home alone in San Francisco for a week, and of course, you know, what am I doing, right? It's like, well, might as well turn on the porn. And of course, I stop on, you know, on any other, you know, low number channel, and I'm just like, it's amazing the kind of shit that's being fed into your head. And now we have the president who has, it's quite interesting how this goes. In even the Financial Times, in the same article, I'll see, well, he is nominated Ben Bernanke to be the Federal Reserve chairman for a second term, and in the same article he is, you know, reappointed him. I'm like, well, hold on a second, that's not how it works. You know, you can't just reappoint him as the president. He has to go through a whole which of course is going to be just the, I mean, you thought Sotomayor was funny. Now they're going to have to do another Senate approval process for Ben Bernanke. I mean, watch that twisting and turning go. And Chris Dodd, you know, who of course is a total shill. Like, oh yeah, well, you know, we're really going to grill him this time. Bullshit, Chris or Todd. Dodd.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I call it bullshit. I mean, this is like giving the doctor who has been, convicted of malpractice, like giving him a Medal of Honor, you know. For, it's like this guy.
Well, don't you
actually
remember? It's like George Bush giving all those freedom medals to the guys who screwed up Iraq.
When I was in Spain, the people in the house next to us, the guy, you know, we had dinner with him one night, and had three kids, and the kids were running around. It was, you know, kind of a laid back, like family dinner. And so, what do you do, John? He says, well, I'm managing director of a security company. I'm like, oh, really? You know, and he's a British. He says, yeah, but you know, not like, people who, you know, protect, your office building, you know, like a security company. I say, oh, you mean like, a consultancy? And he's like, he was a 20-year commanding officer in the British Army. And you know, and he has like, basically he runs a Blackwater. I was like, whoa, this was blue. And I
that's
got
why he was. That's why he was in the house next to you.
Yes.
You didn't figure that out?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I should have thought. He was looking at me, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that there's nothing weird going on with this guy.
Hey, just some, hold on a second. I should probably play this.
And now, back to real news.
Severely underreported, but interesting nonetheless. In 1969, the then, I guess, Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Willem Drees, was given by the then ambassador to the United States in the Netherlands a piece of moon rock. And this, of course, was put into the Rijksmuseum, which is probably the most famous museum in the Netherlands. They've got a lot of fantastic art. And the Free University of Amsterdam got a hold of the moon rock and And they said, you know, this is really interesting. This, of course, we like talking a lot about space and what's going on above our heads, the Naval Space Command. And, you know, of course, my opinion that, yes, although we not only have been on the moon, we have probably have moon bases, that the actual The actual 1969 moon landing, I believe, was done in a studio. So the Free University of Amsterdam examines this moon rock, and after 30 minutes, they say, hey, nice, it's a piece of petrified wood. It's not an actual moon rock.
Well, that's interesting. My understanding is there's only one moon rock that was ever given away to anybody, and I can't off the top of my head, maybe somebody in the chat room would know who it is, and I think it's an American. And it wasn't. I never heard of a second moon rock ever being handed to anybody. So I think the thing never was a moon rock. And
no,
I think
it wasn't.
Somebody's just laughing at
it. No, it's petrified wood. Yeah. It's just petrified wood.
Yeah, we got a moon rock for you, buddy.
You know what? We should hand out no agenda moon rocks. This is an excellent, another fine premium, John. Oh, we're just banging them out. Hey, did we get any ringtone requests? Oh, that doesn't sound very promising.
No.
Really? Not a single
one?
Yeah,
we got a few donations. We didn't really, I don't think we made it clear, and I think we botched the ringtones that we had. And near the end of the show, when we get to my point where I'm going to have to ask people to pony up a little bit here, we'll set up a mechanism. And one of the buttons isn't working for some unknown reason, got changed.
Yeah, I got a lot of the messages about that.
So I'm going to fix that today. But the point is that no, we didn't get any at all. Zip, zero.
So I want to congratulate.
So that idea didn't pan out. Well, but it doesn't mean
it should. It really should.
I think so too. But I think the problem is we don't have a real mechanism in place where people can get. You know, because I don't think
You can only donate. You can't put a message in when you use PayPal. You can add a message, can't you?
Yes, you can. And I don't think, I don't know if people aren't seeing that box or what it is, but I haven't seen any messages.
We might need
far.
To set up a customized donation.
I'm going to set something up today. By tonight, this is Thursday, August 27th. On August 28th, or tonight sometime, it'll be set up differently, and you can go to dvorak.org/NA. Or No Agenda Show, which does need to be fixed, by the way.
Is that hosed as well? Is that hosed?
No, it's not completely hosed, but one of the two of the buttons don't work. But anyway, dvorak.org/NA will be working for sure tonight, exactly right. And then I'll have a separate button for the donation with a ringtone.
It being the 27th of August, I do just want to say that it was 19 years ago today that my daughter came into the world, and that was to the soundtrack of the Beatles in my life in Livingston Hospital.
Well, congratulations
yes,
to
thank you. Yes, that's what
to
I
you and her.
Yeah.
Chris is her name.
Christina. Yes.
Christina.
Yes. So I want to congratulate Alex Berenson of the New York Times, who wrote a fabulous piece forwarded to me by one of our listener producers, Tim Brophy. And I think you got it as well, John. It's about the software that was stolen, quote, stolen from Goldman Sachs by this guy, Alenikov. Who was working at Goldman Sachs, and it really goes into what this software does. In fact, you know, and this of course is why Goldman Sachs is making billions of dollars in profit. This high frequency trading actually is a complete market manipulation. He explains it in pretty simple language. You'll find the link to the article in the show notes at noagendashow.com or at curry.com or dvorak.org/blog. And, in fact, he left Goldman Sachs because he was only making $750,000 a year as a software programmer. Geeks, pay attention. He left because he was offered a $1.2 million a year job at Tesa Technologies. And what it does is this software, which is probably written in some, you know, really low level machine code or something, COBOL probably.
Binary COBOL.
Binary COBOL. And, you know, so it bundles up trades before they actually hit the open market. And so they're making pennies, exactly that we talked about, you know, many weeks ago on the show. And they're able to make pennies on these trades even before it hits the open market systems. And of course, the travesty of all of this is that Goldman Sachs, through the TARP, or maybe it's the TALF, I think it's the TARP, is actually able to borrow hundreds of millions of dollars a day for free, mind you, from us, from the Treasury, in fact, to then go and make these trades. So they have no risk at all. And they're making billions of dollars through market manipulation. And it's right here in black and white in the New York Times.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And of course,
I've always thought that the market, once the computerized trading thing took place, and especially with computerized systems like NASDAQ, that there had to be a way to deconstruct the mechanism, reverse engineer it in such a way that you could manipulate it with another computer program if you had enough money to do it. And that's what Goldman Sachs had when they gave, you know, they've always had, because they're one of the biggest. But you have to be pretty big to do this. And
well, you got to have some major hardware. In fact, I know one of these guys, and I remember he was not really a buddy, because he was kind of weird. But we met at the Ben Cohen's shawarma restaurant one night, and we got to talk on, you know, his spare time. He was like his hobby was pole vaulting, and he was this, you know, bald head, which of course works perfectly with Goldman Sachs, type guys, because they seem to be kind of balding. It's like a club. And what he would do literally is work on these incredibly sophisticated yet very simplistic, very fast programs. And all it was just, you know, how fast can we execute trades? And, you know, if you're really good at your binary COBOL, then there's quite a lot of dough for you to be made out there. And which brings me right back to the assassination of that software programmer who worked at the Gates Law Firm. I'm telling you, these guys are onto it. They don't want the story to come out. The FBI, I mean, if someone steals something from your company, I'm reading this book, The Informant. I'm almost done with it. And the FBI takes months, sometimes years before they go and arrest anybody. No, when it comes to Goldman Sachs and someone took their market manipulation code, they arrest the guy within one day. One day, the FBI is like, oh, stop. We got to arrest you.
Yeah.
This is not just some crackpot theory.
There's not even proof of a crime.
Yeah, except the crime was he took the code.
Yeah, but how do they know?
Because Goldman Sachs picks up the red phone.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
how do they investigate?
They just assume he took the code.
Yeah, they didn't have any time to investigate anything. They just picked up the red phone.
Did he have a copy of a printout of the code, or was it in his head, or was it on a thumb drive?
No, he uploaded it to some open server somewhere.
Probably.
In Europe, yeah.
Probably, I mean, it could be just having access to the backup stuff after you quit the company is stealing the code.
And meanwhile, we're led to believe that Bernie Madoff was duping his clients with a copy of Windows 95. and a dot matrix printer. By the way, a New York Post reporting that he has cancer and is dying. Uh-huh. Now, I feel bad for people with cancer. My mom died of lung cancer. But, you know, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, he's taking 20 pills a day. He talks about it all the time. He's not, you know, of course, it's not the heart attack we thought, John. It'll be cancer. That's what he's going to die of.
Well, they're still going to have to, you know, there are ways of injecting people with certain chemicals and make them look dead, and then you wheel them out. And I mean, you see it in the movies, and it's probably over dramatized, and it's probably more dangerous than you'd think. But, you know, I mean, you think this guy had to have a look. This guy walked off with over $60 billion, you know, more money than Bill Gates.
Which we haven't found, by the way.
Which they haven't found. There, he had to have an escape plan.
Oh yeah.
I mean, because he obviously walked right into the whole thing, turned himself in. I mean, you'd think that if he maybe would disappear to, you know, some island, someplace where there's extradition proof, move to Paraguay. I think you can get.
Yes, Paraguay. That's with the Bush family.
I think that's extradition proof. Yeah. And there's a bunch of things you could do, and you could live a good life there. I mean, you're going to live a better life in Paraguay. It's definitely going to eat better than you're going to in the prison in North Carolina.
Yeah. So he'll die of cancer very soon.
something's going to happen.
It'll be very sad, and they'll bring the box out, and he'll slip out the back, Jack.
That's my guess. Because otherwise it makes no sense. A guy like that who dreamed up this scheme and can carry it to such an extreme has to have, you know, an exit strategy.
I think the $60 billion is just the tip of the iceberg. I think it was involved in a lot more. He set up NASDAQ. He was the founding dude of NASDAQ. So he was involved in all kinds of trickery. Oh, yeah, no. It was a dot matrix printer with Windows 95, and he went and made up these accounts. Yeah, right. How stupid do they think we are?
Apparently.
Yeah, quite stupid.
Very.
The Dutch prince, you remember that the royal Dutch prince had sued the Associated Press, said, you can no longer make pictures available of my family. I don't believe there's been any verdict yet in that case, but this was clearly a case of...
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
The prince has been building a house in Mozambique, which is kind of the new Paraguay. It's the Paraguay for royals. And he pulled a fast one, which has been all over the news here. He no longer owns the house. He put the house into a new structure of a foundation. And, of course, he was kind of smart to do that because this development has been nothing but one big wasp's nest of bribery. Someone's been killed on the premises. There's all this amazing shit going on. And he's like, maybe I should put the house into a foundation. No, we're going to help poor people with this house.
The just, gall.
Yeah,
the
really. Gall. If you're wondering why... our economy has gotten a little bit better because, you know, of course, even though the long-term prospects are horrible and that news has been snowed under by the death of Ted Kennedy. I'm actually deducing this from reading about what happened in Germany. When, you know, the German economy, we were quite amazed that it actually grew. And I kind of figured it out, a number of reasons, but the one that makes the most sense why the U.S. economy has not deteriorated as quickly, it's still declining, mind you, but not as quickly as expected, is of course the Cash for Clunkers program, John. Because so much money, now I think $3 billion has been pumped into the economy directly with real cold hard paper. That this is, it's like a paper play. And up next, cash for refrigerators.
Yeah, I know. I saw that one. In fact, Horowitz and I talked about it.
Oh, really?
Cash for appliances, and they're going to, you know, he thinks that maybe they'll be going for cash for sofas.
How about cash for hair extensions?
You know, cash for shrubbery. I mean, it's like, okay, fine.
They're going to do like $500 million, I think. Cash for refrigerator. Is this coming from our original?
I think you're missing the point. You know, this is all for the environment.
Oh, right.
We want to get some of these old appliances out of off the grid.
Yeah, how stupid am I?
It's about being green.
So the news, of course, in the United Kingdom has been nonstop about, and it was kind of fun to pick up a Financial Times at Schiphol Airport. I flew over to London to hang out with Christina for a bit. And I took your advice, John. I took the Heathrow Express into town instead of taking a cab, which was fabulous. I got a first-class ticket. It's great. They give you CNN indoctrination and free Financial Times. Completely different edition. Much more interesting because it had none of all the Lockerbie stuff in the international version. And as you already predicted, Gordon Brown taking a lot of heat, and he finally came out and said something. He finally said, oh, I was disgusted by the hero's welcome that whatever the guy's name is, the suspected bomber received upon coming home. But, of course, they've all distilled it here and said, well, it's going to be quite embarrassing when British Petroleum announces the big deal they have with Libya, which is on its way. Apparently the deal has already been cut. So everyone knows exactly what this was about. And I've been receiving lots of emails about, you know, the kind of debunk this guy as being the actual guilty person. You know, the apparently it had to do with someone else who was on the plane and the detonation device, which was found, you know, like 25 miles from the crash site, was this exact same detonation device used by the CIA and some other scam they pulled off. So it doesn't make much sense to, you know, to dredge up all this stuff, you know, was it 25 years later?
But, yeah, no, it's like the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, it's like no one cares.
There's other things to do.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter was, this guy was found guilty and blamed. And so why do you only get 8 years? You know, well, it makes no sense.
The thing that everyone's really pissed off about is that he, by being let free, he withdrew his appeal. And there was all kinds of evidence that was set to be brought into the open, which people really wanted to hear about.
Right.
And so that was pretty much.
Well, that would be the conspiracy, the real conspiracy angle, not the deal for the oil.
Possible.
So let's take a look at it from this perspective. The guy's got the goods on who really did it. Let's say it's the CIA. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, we got to get this guy back out of the country and make him drop this appeal. So what are we going to do? I know. I have an idea. Let's do a deal with Libya's oil and British Petroleum. Make it look like that's the reason they did it, and then get him out. Nothing to see here. Kind of a move.
That's possible.
And then let Gordon Brown try to dig himself out of it. Well, Brown's going to eat crap for this, they'll say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Brown wasn't going to win anyway. So Brown is going to just, you know, we'll give him a big pile of money and he can go off and do something else.
You know, I
Brown's already toast. He's already toast.
There's only one flaw with that theory is that I believe the CIA, that President Obama and his administration do not control the CIA. I think the CIA is actually out of control right now. I think they were completely loyal to Bush, maybe even Bush Clinton or the whole, you know, the whole gang over there on the Bush Clinton side. And I believe this is why Obama has now set up a new team, which reports only to him outside of the CIA. Can you believe it? How crazy does it have to get? Now we have the CIAA2. And they're going to be the only ones allowed to interrogate the suspected terrorists. This stinks. This really, really smells like poop. Don't you think? I mean, what the hell is the CIA for?
I don't see how that has anything to do with my theory.
Well, no, because your theory is that the all these things by the CIA were going to be uncovered, and therefore they came up with this scam. But I don't think that Brown / Obama, all on the same side, all run by the same gangsters, I don't think it behooves them to protect the CIA. That's my point. I think if they could blow open the CIA, if they could expose it.
I think it's too risky. No. No, it's too risky. You can get killed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Two to the head. Hey, let's talk about some spaceships. Quick. I got one. Here's one. This blew me away. 11,000.
Sorry?
This one. Are you with me?
Yeah.
11,000 United States veterans who had colonoscopies at the U.S. Veterans Affairs hospitals may have been exposed to hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and HIV. Apparently, in this, I think it was a Miami VA hospital, 11,000 veterans who had colonoscopies were treated, or the colonoscopies were done with equipment. It's an
that device.
A tube they shove up your ass. Instead of being sterilized, it was just rinsed off.
Oh, God.
I mean, not only is that dangerous, that's just disgusting.
Nurse, can you rinse this off?
Oh, man.
You know, she grabs it, sniffs it, rinses it, sniffs it, rinses it, sniffs it.
So there's a couple of guys who contracted AIDS. 8 so far. 12 have tested for hepatitis B, 37 for hepatitis C, because they only rinsed the anal probe.
Well, wait, isn't this a government healthcare system we're talking about?
Absolutely. There you go. That'll do it for you. Yeah. That link will be in the show notes. That could kind of freak me out, man.
Yeah, well, if you were going to get one of those tests, I think it would. So, anyway, back to the CIA. I think the jury's still out on whether they killed Kennedy. And then killed Bobby. And killed, well, didn't kill, but then they, you know, pushed what's-his-name off the bridge. And next thing you know, the Kennedys are done.
Yeah.
Now, here's a problem that I have. Not that I'm going to take the crackpot side of things, but I have a clip that I want to play that was shown on Nova Science Now, which has this goofy guy who's the host.
Let me guess. This is the rat memory clip?
Yeah, the rat memory clip. So they got they're teaching this rat. They got a rat wired up, and he and they have this moving platter. And so the rat's walking around, and when there's one spot on the platter, if he gets near it, he gets a jolt. And so the platter keeps moving around.
They fuck with him. So the spot changes?
Well, it's moving. It's a moving platter. So if he stands still, he's going to be pushed into this area where he gets the jolt.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so he starts walking. He keeps walking away from this area as the platter keeps moving around. He learns that to avoid this area, and he learns quite well. But then they pull a fast one on the rat. But I found it very disturbing, this whole segment, which you're going to play right now.
Walking away. So when the rat stays away from a particular area, we can imagine that he has remembered where he was shot.
Then, Fenton injects the rat's hippocampus with a chemical called Zip, known to undo the effect of PKM Zeta.
And what we observed, which was quite remarkable, was the rat acted as though it had forgotten completely where the shock zone was, and it explored the arena as if it was in the arena for the first time. Just got shocked.
Yet, the rat could learn once again to avoid the shock zone.
So we hadn't damaged the rat's brain. We hadn't broken its ability to learn anything. What we had simply done was specifically erased the memory for that shock zone.
Oh boy. So I guess we can relate this to the swine flu vaccination, huh?
You know, there is something. Well, they injected this directly at some spot. Although I'm sure you could make a some way for something to attack this area. But the thing that disturbed me about this was the matter of fact way that they did it. And this chemical called Zip. They never really said what this stuff is.
What is that stuff?
I don't know, but it's obviously been known to exist because they said they already knew that it attacked this they found a chemical that had to do with short-term memory. They found that this chemical attacks this other chemical and then erases the short-term memory of the rat, and then the rat's perfectly normal except for the fact that this memory of this shock zone had disappeared and he had to relearn it. I found this to be extremely disconcerting.
Well, the first link in Google talks about this very study, and it keeps talking about the Zip. This is from 2007 about the Zip chemical, ZIP. But this also doesn't tell me what this is. Of course, this is all part of the mind control studies the CIA has been doing for years. What the hell is that Zip stuff? How do we get some of it?
I could use it after this show. I could use some myself.
It would be interesting, though. What is Zip? Here, sciencemag.org. Rapid erasure of long-term memory associations in the cortex by an inhibitor of PKM. And then it has a symbol. PKM. Here we go. The components of the remodeled synaptic machinery and how they sustain the new synaptic or cell-wide configuration over time are yet to be elucidated. In the rat cortex, long-term associative memories vanish rapidly after local application of an inhibitor of the protein kinase C isoform.
I don't know. You butchered whatever it was, but you can put it in the show notes. Go ahead.
K-I-N-A-S-E. Kinase C isoform. Protein kinase M Zeta. So that's what this Zip stuff is. Can we? Yeah, we should be able to get some of that.
I don't know what we're going to do with it.
I got some ideas. honey, there were no hookers and blow. It didn't happen. Trust me. Just take your flu shot, baby. Not a problem.
So anyway, I found that to be a distressing. But no one ever, you know,
no one ever talks about this stuff.
They just kind of throw it out. You know, look what happened. The rat, he lost his memory. Ha ha. And it was like, I don't know what the point of the story was.
Not to prepare you. You know, we're getting very, very close now. September, October is when the vaccinations are supposed to start.
Well, you know, they're now the latest news here in the real Gitmo Nation is they're not going to have enough craft to do. They're going to have to do
Gitmo Nation OG.
They're going to have the OG standing for original
gangster, original Gitmo.
But, you know, gangster. They're going to have to roll out the, now, they say.
Oh, the adjuvant?
The adjuvant-based flu shot in a two-shot deal at the same time they have the regular seasonal flu shot, meaning there's going to be a three-shot for kids who don't like shots anyway.
This is gonna, hey, kids!
You can see this becoming a fiasco. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to just put it off until next year. They're going to create another, you know, they're going to have to rejigger with the flu virus itself, because they've already done that, according to some of these reports. Jigger it up a little bit so it actually does kill a few people, and then try this scam again.
You
next
know,
year.
Actually, you know that
we're going to reboot. It's a reboot.
It wouldn't be a bad idea, John, because you know, of course, I believe that there's, you know, an actual plan out there to eliminate people. But on the other hand, if you just look at the finances of it, I believe that all the pharmaceutical companies, they're going to get paid regardless. They, you know, all the shots have been ordered, so it's just going to be written off. And you may be right. You know, it's like we'll have 10, 20, 30, maybe 400 people die. By the way, according to the numbers from the CDC, who no longer actually track cases of swine flu, according to their numbers published, 500 people in the United States have died of swine flu. According to their numbers. I'm sorry, I didn't see the news report. 500 have died of swine flu in the United States.
And most of those people were sick to begin with.
But I've only heard of one. Where did these 500 come from? And now they're just doing these aggregated numbers. It's crap. Play a little bit of music for you, everybody, here on No Agenda.
The CDC says more than 1 million Americans are already infected. It's safe for children to get vaccinated.
The swine flu's coming back like a viral attack. It's like 7 to 6, you gotta cover your back. But not with the vaccine, don't give into that. Because those medical quacks are making money off that.
Ah, you gotta see this video, it's in the show notes. The Health
Ranger. I love
Ranger.
When the black community gets yeah. onto this stuff.
Don't inject me, the swine flu vaccine song. Well, yes, you know, of course, the actual news is that swine flu may infect half of the U.S. population this year. Yeah, it's called the flu. Okay, sure, it happens. It's a Bloomberg report, by the way. 1.8 million patients in the U.S. will be hospitalized, filling intensive care units to capacity and causing severe disruptions during a fall resurgence, scientific advisors to the White House have warned. Swine flu. It's going to kill you.
So you should make that into it. Somebody should take that clip and do something with it. What's the what's my last clips I have?
Yeah, how are we doing on time?
We got 15 minutes or so.
You've got
about 10.
You have Alaska Town Hall and Lionfish.
Oh, the Alaskan town hall is kind of interesting. This is a town hall meeting where some nurse who's shaken like a leaf, oh, not a nurse, but a doctor, shaken like a leaf. And this was done by the senator from Alaska, who's kind of who's also a Republican and seems to be Sarah Palin's enemy and also seems to have some brains. The senator from Alaska.
Forget it.
So anyway, I'm not a big Sarah Palin fan anymore. So I never was, actually. I thought she was on paper. She looked like a good candidate.
Neither am I, but I still feel that the way she was treated by the press was anti-feminist. It was sexist,
oh, yeah.
sexist,
yeah.
ageist
yeah.
to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And completely just... And by the way, those of you sitting at home listening to this, screw you too. You know, people who are saying, you know, I don't care for the woman's politics. I don't give a crap. I do care about how you talk about women in general. And the jokes that are made on every single news channel from Fox News to, hold on 1 second, John. Hold on.
Hey, so I guess I'm not the only one who gets phone calls during the show. Well, by the way, while Adam's out talking to this on the phone, I want to mention to people that we do need your support. NoAgendaShow.com. You can donate there, or Dvorak.org/NA. We did very poorly, and I knew the reason why, because we didn't really push the donations last Sunday, and we usually don't on Sunday. But I would hope that we do a little better, because this is, again, a slow week. And if you think about what we're delivering here, which is 3 hours a week of entertaining news and information that makes you think a little bit, 3 hours a week, you pay $20 to go to the theater, and you don't get as much out of it as we deliver it week after week after week. And we're trying to expand that another hour and a half or another hour with a Tuesday show, but we aren't going to do it unless we have the kind of steady income that's necessary. And I hope that some people out there who listen to the show, who've been listening to the show over and over and over again, and, you know, they, as far as they're concerned, you know, we're just another PBS operation begging for money. And you don't want to give us anything, which is, you know, I don't have a problem with people who are students or people who want to volunteer some help, you know, website development or pass the word along or give out copies of the show, whatever you want to do.
John, thank you so much for doing that. That was actually my daughter who called. She just landed, and I hadn't spoken to her. I'd left a voicemail message, and I just wanted to say happy birthday to her. So thank you for covering.
Dvorak.org/NA.
All right. Do we get to the town hall, or are we going to go straight into begging for money?
No, I just did the begging for money, so you
Excellent.
Don't have to.
Excellent.
Although it would help if you begged for money once in a while. So let's go to the town hall. And the only reason I'm playing this, and it should have been played earlier in the show, it's just some doctor who has a complaint about. She's a general practitioner, and she's complaining about how this is a dying breed and this new bill's not going to help things.
Hi, my name is Dr. Ilona Farr. I'm a family practice doc here in town, and I'm here representing 16 family practice docs, which is 20% of the family practice docs in Anchorage. We went from 180 down to 75 family practice doctors because of low Medicare reimbursement rates. Our call group uniformly said that if the bill that is currently proposed or bills, we would all be out of business by 2014. This is a very serious problem, as we all enjoy seeing our patients. Right now, for a $115 office visit, I am paid $40 by Medicare and $7 by the secondary insurance. United Healthcare takes $400 for secondary insurance a month. They made $3 billion last year.
Right.
What we need to do is do health savings accounts and allow our seniors to take $300 that they are paying right now to the secondary insurance, put it in a health savings plan so they can pay us, so they can pay for hearing aids, so they can pay for other medical devices without a bunch of government bureaucracy. And people should be allowed from birth to death to do health savings accounts.
Yeah, you know, John, I think that it might actually be, and of course we should have played this much earlier in the show, you're right, but I think that might be an interesting option to see that, you know, revive. It's not a bad idea to teach people how to, I know it's anti-American to say this, but to save money. We've fallen into this reverse savings called credit, you know, where my mom used to call it the never never.
Never, never what?
You're like, you never, never pay it off if you borrow money.
Right,
she used to call it, she said, hey, did you buy that car in the never, never? And, you know, it's saving money. It actually, of course, it's not, it's anti-American. It screws up our economy, but maybe that's a good way to go through it. I'm not quite sure what would happen to the dollar if we saved our money, you know, how.
Well, the economy is designed for cash flow.
Yeah.
So saving our money is not many economists will say is a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good idea in the 20s. It was maybe a good idea in the 1860s.
But of course, that's what's happening right now is people are saving their money. They're keeping it in their pocket. They don't want to save it because the future is too unsure. That's why you get deflation, which I'm also not against. Shit, stuff is getting cheaper. Yay.
Yeah, well. Deflation is also seen as a bad thing.
Shit.
So
there goes my nomination for Federal Reserve Chairman. Damn.
Who?
Me. Mine.
You.
Yeah, I would be really good. Back to the gold standard.
You'd be at least a humorous.
And I look better than Ben Bernanke.
And I'll tell you, Bernanke doesn't seem like a very funny guy.
He does not. He really doesn't. He wears funky shirts, though. Designer shirts. You see that where the collar has like some Yves Saint Laurent logo on it? And tone it down, Ben.
Yeah, wear a white shirt.
Yeah, tone it down, dude. And can we have a president and officials who wear ties again? I just think it's proper.
Well, now that you mention it, I haven't picked up on that, but you're right. Obama's roaming around with polo shirts on.
That's okay, in a certain setting. But I see Bernanke without a tie. I see Obama without a tie next to him. Can we, since when did the tie become not fashionable anymore?
Silicon Valley. Somebody said to me once, "Hey, you're the last guy in Silicon Valley who still wears a tie."
Yeah,
I think it was you.
How about the lionfish clip?
No, we'll save that for Sunday.
Nah, we'll never use it. Oh, Sunday, by the way, I think we may have to start a little bit later because Christina is doing a fashion show. She's on the runway, and it starts at 8:30 a.m. Gitmo Nation West time. So if we could start probably around 10 maybe instead of 9.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, if she's going to be doing that, you're going to bring the camera and you're going to turn it on the movie mode and make a movie?
I don't have to do that because this thing is going to be covered by the press like nobody else's business.
Yeah, but they always – I know I've seen these. You know, this reminds me, by the way, if I'm going to have my last gripe of the day.
Oh, hold on a second. Ah, shit. Where is – I'm sorry, John. I was a little
– You don't have the clip. I picked
it's okay. There you go.
So I have the notes downstairs, unfortunately, so I don't have them handy.
And that was it. Great, John. Thanks. Loved it.
Maybe I'll bring it up on the Sunday show with the exact details. But here's the deal. So I'm watching the Miss Universe thing, the Donald Trump show.
Oh, geez. Did I miss it again? Ah, crap.
It was the worst produced thing ever. The cameras were jerky, and they were all over the place, and they were doing stuff that was from the 70s, the way they were handling the shots. And they never showed a girl's butt, by the way.
Oh, bad. Very bad.
They would have the girl walking out in a bathing suit. I swear to God, anyone go find a tape of this, they'll see the same thing. The girl comes out walking out in a bathing suit. They got a front shot of her coming up, ding, 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 ding. Then she flips a turnaround, and then they cut to a shot of her legs.
No ass shots,
as she walks back. No, and a side shot of her legs. A side shot of her legs walking back. And then they make another cut to her flipping back around. And it's kind of now it's a kind of a head and shoulder shot.
Are you
shot.
Sure it just wasn't really, really bad direction? They just missed it every single time?
No, it was every single time, exact same sequence. Mm. And I realized they weren't showing the girl. So you never got to see if the girl had a big, you're going to look at the caboose, right? I mean, these girls are walking back. You want to see if they got big flabby buns or whatever you want to look at.
It's an essential part of the whole deal.
Of the swimsuit thing, for sure. So you don't know. But anyway, but they had the same exact phenomenon that people have to be aware of with these, which I think are rigged. And I don't think that you have to do any more rigging than the following simple act. You have to always remember that the last thing in a series of events or any sort of series, the last thing is always given the highest ratings, the highest numbers. It's just the way it is. People always hold back, and then they let their numbers go up at the end. So if you have 10 girls come out, and if they were all exactly the same person in some way or proven to be the same in some, you could do a double blind study, which you can't. The last girl will always get the highest score, one of the last two. They'll always get the highest score, and the girls at the beginning always get the lowest score. So in this instance, we had a beautiful girl that came that was the number two in the sequence from Iceland. She was gorgeous. And
she was gorgeous.
Sorry? Oh, she was right. Broke. She was broke. Yeah, this girl wasn't broke, I can assure you. But I get the joke. But anyway, so as soon as I saw the first, three or four, I said, these girls can't win because they're at the beginning of the sequence. And so this is just bogus. And this poor girl from Iceland, who is really pretty, she was eliminated rather quickly. And then, but then near the end, the last three, well, I figure are going to be one of those three is going to be the winner. And they always put Miss USA as not last, but always second to last in most of these competitions, because that'll keep her in. And she was a kind of a perky, she was a good looking woman.
Yeah, of course, but, because the longer you watch these women, you know, the more turned on you get. I mean, that's obvious. You know,
So the Miss USA comes out second to last, and then the last one who comes out is Miss, who I thought was one of the prettiest women in terms of just being elegant looking, was Miss Venezuela. There's probably about five that were knockouts, and I was, when they're getting to the last of them, I said, and then the last one of the 15 is, and I said, why, I can't believe they're not going to put Miss Venezuela up there. Boom, Miss Venezuela, the last one. Who do you think won the competition?
Miss Venezuela?
Absolutely.
John C. Dvorak's pet peeve of the day.
So, John, I would like to thank you for proving my theory that we spent 10 times much more time actually complaining about the Miss Universe competition than we did about rigged voting machines for the presidential elections. I appreciate it. I really appreciate
that. You're
welcome.
I try to keep the show topical.
About Iceland, by the way, I just wanted to mention one thing. Remember that the Icelandsky Bank went belly up, and it was an internet, like an online bank that had billions of euros, kroner, whatever they're using. A lot of the money from the UK and the Netherlands. And the money was from the UK. A lot of it was council money, so municipalities who would invest their money because they had some outrageous rate, like 8 or 9%, something really high. And so the governments jumped in when the bank went belly up. They returned a third of the money to the Dutch and UK investors. And now they have kind of like a fait accompli that they have given Iceland, saying, okay, you've got to repay this money back within, I think it's like 10 years or whatever. If not, you won't get any support from the IMF, which of course the country desperately needs, even though it's like 300,000 people who live there. The amount of money they have to pay back is 80% of their entire gross national product per year. So there's no way they can ever pay it back. You know, it's the super never never. So they're getting completely squeezed, and of course the 300,000 inhabitants are up in arms. They're like, you know, shit, no, you know, why do we have to pay for it? Why do the people have to pay for this crappy ass bank, who, by the way, was advised through the consultancy of, amongst others, Peter Orszag, who is in charge of the government of the United States' budget.
Good work, Peter.
Yeah, way to go, dude. Rocking.
Well, you know, maybe there's a reason for it.
Now,
we wanted to bankrupt Iceland.
If you want,
you know, they got some terrific wool in Iceland. By the way, anybody who goes to Iceland, you know, if you're taking a trip to Europe, if you can take a stop over in Reykjavik, like a couple of hours, the airport wool store is probably the best in the country.
I was going to transition into saying, if you want your money well taken care of, consider a donation to this program. Because look at, you know, you might spend $50 on wool in Iceland, which would probably cost you a lot more because you got to get there, you got to get a hotel to stay overnight, or you could just donate some money to this show and maybe get a third show a week out of it. But, you know, like, I'd quit my day job and just do this all the time. I'd bring back Daily Source Code if we could actually make a living out of this. I enjoy it so much.
You do?
I really do. It's the highlight of my week. Twice a week. I love it, John. I love you.
People should go to NoAgenda or NoAgendaShow.com or Dvorak.org/NA. I'll get the buttons fixed today, and I'll add some other stuff on there, and we can.
And actually, it's really good, for your kids. If you want to teach your kids about economics, then besides, of course, allowing them to listen to this show, and lots of educators are doing this now. We get emails from professors and high school teachers all the time who are turning their kids on to this very show, and we highly appreciate it. But teach them the magic of layaway, something that existed when I was a kid. You wanted that bike, you wanted the pair of jeans, you wanted the dress, and you went to the store and you said, hey man, could I really have that? They put it away on layaway for you, and every week you'd bring your money, and you'd save it up, and then after like 10 weeks, then you would get the product. And it was very exciting. It was a fantastic reward, and you felt really good about yourself. Of course, we were like stealing money from all over the place to pay off the layaway, but still, it teaches your kid something. So why not teach your kid how to become a No Agenda Knight through our layaway program, which is only $50 a month, and before you know it, your kid will have a piece of petrified wood with the label Moon Rock.
Petrified. We got to find a source of petrified wood.
That should be easy, man.
I think there's some in my backyard, as a matter of fact.
I think you should look between your legs. Where's the rim shot when I need it? All right, so no agenda. We'll start a little bit later on Sunday. But it should be. I should have some interesting stories to tell.
About what? What's the tease?
I'll have interesting stories to tell. That's enough tease right there, my friend.
That's it?
That's it.
We're going to talk about lionfish for sure.
Yes, and petrified wood. Coming to you from the 17th Century Canal House Crackpot Command Center, located in the heart of Gitmo Nation East in Amsterdam, I'm Adam Curry.
And looking at the noagendashow.com and Dvorak.org/NA, as you should all do later, I'm in northern Silicon Valley. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again on Sunday, right here on No Agenda.